Hey everybody, this is Brandon Luna with Cigars and Cinema, Love to Hate, and Kiefer for Prez. Today's episode is sponsored by Nat Sherman Premium Cigars. With such great cigars in their lineup as the 93-rated Timeless Dominican, 92-rated Timeless Nicaraguan, 96-rated Host Maduro, and the brand new 91-rated Metropolitan Habano, every time you reach for a Nat Sherman, you're going to get a quality cigar. So ask for Nat Sherman Premium Cigars at your local cigar lounge. You won't be disappointed. Today's episode is sponsored by Calypso's Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas, one of Dallas-Fort Worth's premier cigar lounges. If you haven't been there yet, go check it out. Off of I-75 and Arapahoe, it has one of the largest humidors in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, filled with some of the best cigars on the planet. They also have a beautiful lounge you can sit at and enjoy your cigar. So go visit Matt and the crew at Calypso's Cigar Shop and Lounge, located at 1002 North Central Expressway, Suite 589 in Richardson, Texas. And hey, if you're not in the area, give them a call at 972-761-9903. That number again, 972-761-9903.
Cigars.
And cinema.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars and Cinema.
Cigars and Cinema.
I brought it back.
I know.
It's been a long time.
I know.
I just, like, it just came out of me. It just flowed like nature.
Cigars and Cinema.
There you go, baby. We've been a while away, and been away. That's very Yoda.
We have been a while away.
We've been a while away, but we're back, baby. We're back. All right.
Yes,
I'm black. You're bad. That's a Lethal Weapon.
We're doing a topic that I've always wanted us to do, and we've never done.
Yeah, what is that topic, Randy? Tell me.
We are supposed to love, but don't.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of them.
There is a bunch
for me,
of them.
You know.
So we're going to work off the AFI's top 100 list here, which this is the top 100 movies, top 100 movies of all time, and we're going to kind of go down the list, and we'll just kind of we'll hit some points, and you say like or don't like, and then we'll discuss. Okay. Citizen Kane.
Haven't seen it enough to, or haven't seen it all the way through, so I don't know.
I love that movie. A lot of people don't, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people think
I can
it's
understand
really
why you don't,
obtuse,
but I guess I could understand
and,
why you would.
So Casablanca.
Haven't seen it all the way.
Are you kidding me? I love that movie. The Godfather. Here's one that I will talk of. I'm supposed to love The Godfather.
Yeah.
I think it's long. I think it's boring. I think it's a good movie, but it's not my movie. And
I don't get. I mean, I guess I can understand why people love it the way they do. It was very groundbreaking at the time. Mm-hmm. But it's long. It's got all the mafia stereotypes in it, and it's just I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of it. I actually like the second one better than the first one, and the third one was just abhorrent, so I won't even go there. Here's a big one for me, though. Gone with the Wind. What a friggin' beatdown that movie is. I can't stand this movie.
I grew to like it because my mom made us watch it every year, and finally one year I decided to actually pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And once again, it's groundbreaking. It's epic. It's the first time they ever really addressed the Civil War.
Yeah.
So I give it a thumbs up. I mean, do I ever want to watch it again? No. But I give it a thumbs up.
I can't stand Scarlett O'Hara's that character.
No, but Rhett Butler kind of offsets her.
Yeah. I mean, but she's the hero of the movie, and you're just like, I don't like her at all. It's like it's almost like Rachel Green in Friends. It's like you're supposed to like her, but I can't stand that character. So that's a big one for me. Lawrence of Arabia. You don't like it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, God, you haven't seen a lot of these. You need to catch up. I love Lawrence of Arabia. Wizard of Oz.
Love it. It has its place in my heart.
Yep. The Graduate.
No.
Nope.
No. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I'm trying to say something good about it. And
yeah.
Catherine Ross was hot. That's
she
what
was.
I'll say
yeah.
about it.
She that was. Yeah. It. That's another one of those movies that just, you know, everybody talks about it. It's, you know, obviously one of the top 10 movies of all time, according to this. They're number 7.
Great soundtrack. Great Simon and Garfunkel soundtrack. I like that part.
Yep.
That's about it.
Just not my thing. Uh-huh. Not my thing at all. And I don't know what it is about it. It's
and I just don't think Dustin Hoffman's a good actor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played good roles and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But he just has that blank stare. He kind of stammers a little bit when he talks.
Yeah.
Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to seduce me?
Right.
Wow. That's deep acting right there, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one for me that I tried to watch a couple times. It took me a couple times to get through it, and I just was like, I didn't get it. I don't get it. Now, On the Waterfront, I do like. That's number 8.
Yeah, that's solid. I mean,
that's a good one. Schindler's List, I think, is a very good movie, but it's a hard watch. It's not
something watch. I watched it once.
Yeah, it's not something I'm going to put on every year and go, you know what? Let's watch Schindler's List. Yeah. That's just a feel-good movie
of the
year.
It's a nice Sunday afternoon.
Right, yeah. Let's just all get depressed and want to kill ourselves. Singing in the Rain's number 10. That's one of my all-time faves. I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's a great movie.
Absolutely.
It's a Wonderful Life is number 11.
It's a great movie.
Gotta love that.
We know that, if you've listened to our other episodes, you know that we love that movie.
Yeah. Sunset Boulevard. Never seen it.
Never seen it either.
Okay, no. We'll skip that one. Bridge over the River Kwai, Bridge on the River Kwai, number 13.
It's okay. I'm not a big war movie guy, but it's okay.
Some Like It Hot?
Yeah, I'm in the middle on that one.
Star Wars.
Love Star Wars.
Oh, you like Star Wars.
The first Star Wars.
I figured that was going to be a fight.
No, I love the first Star Wars.
Okay. All About Eve.
Seen it once, don't know much, don't remember much.
African Queen, I like this movie.
Yeah.
I like that movie. It's a good flick. Psycho.
Great movie.
Great movie. That's number 18. I'd put that further up, personally.
Well,
I think that's really kind of the best that Alfred Hitchcock had to offer, personally. Man, I don't know. He has a lot of good ones.
North by Northwest and Rear Window.
Really good. Yeah. And Psycho's really good, though. Yeah. Psycho was good because it was different. You know, you had that first person you think is going to be the hero, and then after the first third of the movie, they're gone. You're like, what? You know,
right.
It was just
exactly.
A shock.
Exactly.
The General from 1926. That was a one of those old silent black and whites. The guy with the cane and
Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin. There you go. Wow, my brain sucks now. Chinatown.
That movie is a beating.
It is a beatdown of a movie.
Ugh.
I liked the twist at the end. I mean, I can't say I liked it because it was gross, but it just. That movie is...
I wish that Jack Nicholson wasn't already broken, because I would have liked to have broken it.
right.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie's a beatdown to me. It's not one that I love film noir movies, but I like old school black and white, you know, Fred McMurray, put him in there, something like that, film noir movies, you know, Humphrey Bogart. Mm-hmm. This one was film noir done in the 70s, and it just didn't...
Can't do color in film noir.
Yeah, it didn't do it for me over at all. And the next one is another Jack Nicholson, One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest. One flew over
to me, it's too similar to Cool Hand Luke, and I like Cool Hand Luke way better than Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
I mean, Cuckoo's Nest is a little darker, but still.
I like everybody surrounding Nicholson in that. Yeah. I thought there was really good performances by Brad Dourif and everybody else. You know, what's
Indian
name?
Guy, yeah. Chief Dan Torres or whatever his name is.
Nurse Ratched did a really good job. Yeah. But that's one of those prime examples of Nicholson just overacting.
Yeah, exactly.
And just really chewing the
scenery.
Now,
the ending does get me. I mean, it's like, oh, shit, that's a rough ending. But he kind of deserved it. Right. So it's kind of like I couldn't feel that sorry for him.
Grapes of Wrath.
Great movie.
Great movie, yeah.
Yeah.
That's number 21. Uh-huh. Number 22, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Don't know enough.
What a beatdown that movie is.
It seems like one. From what I've seen of it, it seems like a beatdown movie.
That movie is, it's Stanley Kubrick, and I got to say, I'm not a big Kubrick fan, that's probably going to make people hate me, because everybody's like, oh, Stanley Kubrick, he's such a great auteur, and he does all these great movies, but for some reason, his movies just seem really over-the-top, obtuse, and...
It's like he goes out of his way to make him annoying.
Yeah, exactly. In 2001 Space Odyssey annoyed the shit out of me when I was a kid. I liked the last third of the movie, but the first half of it just really makes me want to... punch someone in the face. Maltese Falcon, I think, is great. That's number 23. Raging Bull is another one that I could do without.
That's definitely. That was going to be on my list if it wasn't on there.
Yeah. The ones you don't like?
I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Scorsese has a habit of making movies about horrible people doing horrible things, and you're supposed to want to watch that movie. And I just, the guy was an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
There was really nothing good about him, and you're supposed to root for this guy. It just, such a beatdown, man.
Yeah.
Here's one that I'm on the fence on. E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
I loved it as a kid. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
It does
not
age well.
I wouldn't imagine that it would. I really don't think it would.
I think Henry Thomas does a really good job of the movie. Yeah. He does a great performance, having to act against this plastic fake thing.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the movie suffers from time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's...
And I think Spielberg does that, especially then, did it a lot.
Yeah.
He makes movies for that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he... paints himself into a corner a lot.
I think one of the ones that still is timeless to me from him is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark is still one of my
top 10.
Yeah,
because it's a period piece.
Yeah, and it works. It still works to this day. It's very well. But I mean, I showed Zoe E.T., my 8-year-old, And it was about the time what that movie came out in what, 82? So
yeah,
I was 12.
I was 13. But
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought she'd be right for that. She got bored.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, no, I had to watch this. Like, eh. She just like went just playing on her iPhone. I'm like, okay, well, we're just not going to finish this movie. Yeah. But
are we going through every single movie?
No.
Okay.
No.
You are skipping. Okay.
Here's another one, too, that another Stanley Kubrick, Dr. Strangelove.
Has I like funny moments.
Elements of the movie. I love, you know, Peter Sellers in it, but overall,
yeah.
You know, Bonnie and Clyde.
Great movie.
Great movie. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Apocalypse Now, I'm on the fence on, man. When it came out, and when I was a kid, I saw it, I hated it, but it's one that I've grown to love over time.
Yeah, and I love Robert Duvall, but I think he overacts in it. But I do like, I guess I would say I like that movie. Back to Bonnie and Clyde, a little side note.
Mm-hmm.
That was the movie my dad took my mom to see on their very first date.
Oh, yeah?
It was Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah.
Good movie with our friend Scott Wilson.
Yes. Scott Wilson was in it.
He was.
Yeah.
So let's kind of skip around the list a little bit here, and I'm going to go to some that are on the list that are supposed to be ones we like that I just really don't like. Another one with our friend that can't act, Midnight Cowboy.
God, that movie sucks. That movie is...
It's horrible, isn't it?
Horrible. Although, you know, that we're talking here, Lionel, that was an ad-lib. Somebody was fucking with them while they were doing their...
I'm walking here when the car runs into him. Yeah. That was a great... I mean, there's good moments in the movie, but John Voight is fucking awful in that movie.
Yes.
I don't know if... Yeah. I mean, I've seen him in other stuff, and he's a decent actor, but that movie, I was just like, is he supposed to act like an idiot? It was just... And it wasn't believable. It was just... It was a skeezy movie that I didn't enjoy at all. And, not one of my favorites. Here's another one that I think is on everybody's list that I just can't stand. Tootsie.
Hate that movie.
Thank you.
When I was a kid and we watched it, I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And we've said a billion times, neither one of us are homophobic. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never thought drag was funny. I don't think it's funny. I think it's a cheap way to get a laugh.
Right, right.
It's like telling a filthy, dirty joke is a cheap way to get a laugh.
It's vaudevillian.
Yeah, and it's like, no. You know, Bill Murray was the only thing I liked in that movie.
I remember there was a movie that I wanted. It was one of those when you're like, I really want to see this movie. Oh, we're going to go see Tootsie. Like, son of a bitch. Like, that's not what you say when you're 12. You may. I guess not as much as probably passable at 12. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to go see it, and I fucking hated it from before I saw it. So when I saw it, I obviously hated it. But I've seen it since then because other people that I know like it, and I'm still just don't. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it either.
I don't. So what are some off the list here? Is just going to go on. What are some of that you know you're supposed to like that you don't?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Westerns. We both are.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that is almost in every top five Western list, The Searchers.
Mm.
I don't like The Searchers.
Yeah.
I think it's got a great storyline. I think it suffers from a couple of things.
Mm.
It suffers from John Wayne being a superstar.
Yeah.
And he was at the height of his stardom at the point. So I don't think he was taking things as seriously, you know, as he did early in his career, then later in his career as he got older, he really started. But I think he was in his, I'm John Wayne and I'm here to make a movie kind of thing.
Right, right, right.
And it suffers from the fact that it was done in the 60s or late 50s, whenever it was done.
Mm.
So they couldn't get as graphic or as dark as the story needed for it to be.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's a dark story, and it was pretty dark for then, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's some, you know, it's this dark thing. He's going after his niece that's been raped and kidnapped by Indians and stuff. But yet they have time to sit down and have this big party and celebrate and all this kind of stuff. It's like, where did that come from?
Right,
And the timing, if you ever notice, like, one scene it's snowing, the next scene it's desert, and you're like, wait a minute, this didn't flow together very well.
Yeah.
I just don't think that movie's as great as people make it out to be.
Yeah. There was a moment like that in Apocalypse Now, too, that annoyed me as a kid. And it still annoys me to this day. I don't think the scene needs to be. It's like, you know, battle-worn, everybody's going with Vietnam, it's all difficult. And then in the middle of this, like, thing, there's this big giant party scene with, like, Playboy Playmates, and you're like, what the hell? Like, is this the thing? Like, I don't understand why this is in the movie. It was just odd. It was almost like a dream sequence.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
But yeah, I totally agree with The Searchers. And my dad and I talked about, like, he's a big Western guy. We talked about Westerns that could be remade, and that was one that I mentioned.
That one
he's
could
like,
be, yeah.
You know what? He goes, yeah, they could really do well with that. If they get the right cast, you get the right cast, and you go dark with it, that could be a really good remake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's something that Hollywood needs to look at. If they're going to do something, do something like that, you know? Manchurian Candidate.
You know what? I liked the remake better.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Sinatra was good in it, and Angela Lansbury was good in it, but it just was really slow. Back then, when you had that kind of a plot line, because people had no time, or had enough time, they could do whatever, so it didn't bother them to go watch a 2.5-3 hour movie, you know,
right,
so you could
right.
drag out the dialogue and stuff. But when you try to watch it now, it's like, come on,
right,
do
yeah.
something.
A little bit of a beatdown, yeah.
yeah.
I think Sinatra's a good actor, definitely a better singer than an actor, but he was passable as an actor.
Solid. Yeah.
But there's some false moments in that, and that kind of bugged me, and
yeah.
I don't, that's just one of those. What's another one that you had on your list that you mentioned?
And I know you love this movie.
Oh, I do. I know what you're going to say already.
What?
Fight Club.
I debated on that one. I don't hate that one that much.
Okay, okay.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
I love Fight Club.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, what?
I do not like Ghostbusters.
Are you kidding me?
I don't like it. Part of it was I was outside playing with a bunch of friends. We were playing football. We had an epic football game going.
Okay.
And it was Friday night, and Friday night was pizza family movie night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ghostbusters, and I'm like, come on, because it's, you know, it was hard to get like 8 to 10 people outside to get a good football game going. And man, we had one going. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
My mom calls me in there, and I'm like, Ghostbusters. I'm like, okay, I want to see that. Okay, all right. And I like sat there with my hand on my fist, you know, my fist against my cheek watching the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
I laughed maybe once.
Wow.
So part of it was that I was pissed. But I have gone back and rewatched it, and I still don't like it.
Wow.
I don't like
it. That's amazing. You might like the new one then. Watch the new one.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's what I was doing. I was waiting for a female remake of it.
Right. You misogynistic asshole. Here's one that a lot of people love, and I never liked this movie from day one. I hated it when I saw it in the theater because it just – there's certain things I can suspend disbelief with, but this one just went over the edge for me, and I know you probably like it, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I like it.
I do not like,
I like
Forrest
it a lot.
I don't like it.
I like it.
I don't like it.
I guess I could see where you wouldn't, but
yeah.
It does enough for me that I like it.
Yeah. It's one of the few performances from Tom Hanks that I just wasn't on board with from the get-go. I didn't like his performance in that movie at all.
It was a hard part to play.
Yeah.
He was riding the fence on that one. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have fallen either way.
Never go full retard.
You know, but yeah. I don't know, that scene at the graveside at the end when he's talking to Jenny.
Yeah.
That's boy, if you don't get a lump in your throat on that one, man.
No,
then
I didn't, because I didn't like the character. So there's elements of the movie that I
like. Well, I didn't like Jenny, but yeah, I liked the love he had for
yeah,
her. That
she
was awesome.
Such a whore.
She used him the whole fucking movie.
That's part of what I didn't like
yeah,
about the movie is that he's in love with this girl who doesn't return the love. It's
yeah.
more of he's in the ultimate friend zone movie, basically, is
right.
what it is. You know?
And yeah, and the only way he gets into school is because his mom fucks the principal.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like it's. Like I said, I could see why people don't like it, but I do.
Yeah.
I like it.
Here's another one that's on all the lists that I just fucking hate this movie. Shawshank Redemption. No, I'm just kidding. I like that movie.
I was going to say, how do you
you're
going to
punch me.
How do you hate Shawshank?
No,
our buddy Will Sadler was in that movie.
That's a great movie. But that I think that should be further up on the list, honestly.
I know. It's number one on IMDb, which
yeah.
is stupid.
It
is not the greatest movie ever.
It's
but
definitely
it's a great movie.
Top 25, I would say, probably.
Well, think about 94, though. We think we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Lion King, Forrest Gump, Shawshank, Pulp Fiction. All up for Best Picture, but that's a tough
hell
list
of a year.
Right?
Yeah, hell of a year. So here's one that a lot of people will, I think, agree with. Now, I like this movie. You like this movie, but it's one of those movies that time hasn't been kind to, and a lot of people don't like this movie.
Okay.
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. It's one of those, if I mention it to somebody, they all say they love it. I've only heard a few people say they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes back. And I had this all planned already to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why a lot of people don't like it, it's those Scorsese fanboys that got pissed because he kept losing out to actor directors.
Right.
Raging Bull lost out to Ordinary People, directed by Robert Redford.
Yeah.
A first-time director actor.
Right, right.
Then Goodfellas loses out to Dances with Wolves to Kevin Costner, a first-time director. Mel Gibson, he loses out on, I can't remember what movie
Last
that was.
Passion of the Grail, no, Braveheart. He won for Braveheart, and he lost out on Gangs of New York, right?
That's right, yeah. First-time director.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
So they just hate those movies because their buddy Scorsese got beaten. He's better director than Costner and Redford and Gibson and stuff.
Right.
But
now here's...
No, go ahead.
No, here's one that you mentioned one that is on my list of ones I don't like that people love. Braveheart. I fucking hate that movie. That movie's
it's
shitty.
I didn't hate that I watched it, but I've never watched it since.
I didn't see what all the hubbub was about because I had seen Rob Roy. I think they were the same year, mm-hmm. Braveheart and Rob Roy. I really liked Rob Roy. I think
Rob Roy's better. Yeah.
It's a better movie. We mentioned we don't like Jessica Lange, but she's good in that movie. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson's really good in that movie. Tim Roth is good in that mm-hmm. movie. All the primaries are good in that movie. Mm-hmm. And to me, Braveheart really only had Mel, mm-hmm. and I think he's not super great as an actor. Yeah. He always kind of feels a little false to me.
Yeah.
He's gotten better in older age, but mm-hmm. I think the reason he won is because it was such an epic movie, and it's such an undertaking for a first-time director.
And that's why Costner won for Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Dances with Wolves is definitely a better movie.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I fucking hated Ordinary People.
The only thing worthy of Ordinary People is Mary Tyler Moore's performance. She is a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just came off the popular TV show where everyone loved her, and then she plays this bitch, and she played it so well.
Yeah.
And I love that scene where Donald Sutherland at the end just finally goes, I'm done.
Right, right. Good actor, Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's another one.
Does he have a son that does anything?
God, he's in sounds something. Familiar. Yeah. Kiefer?
He did something. I can't remember.
Are they related? Here's one that is debatable also. And I think this is probably the best movie this guy's directed, but a lot of people would disagree with me. American Graffiti.
It's a fun movie. It got our buddy Pedro's dad back on the map.
Right, with Rock Around the Clock. Yeah.
It's two small parts, and Harrison Ford and Suzanne Somers launched their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Howard's first role where he was an Opie.
Right. When was the last time you saw it?
Oh, God. 20 years. 25.
Watch it again. It's knowing how much Lucas has fucked up the Star Wars series.
Yeah, right.
Watch that movie. It's probably, it's very Robert Altman kind of MASH kind mm-hmm. of thing where it's really not a plot,
it
but there's
like
a lot
vignettes.
Of good characters.
It like,
yeah.
yeah.
And, it's very much like that. And mm-hmm. for him to pull that off mm-hmm. as a director, mm-hmm. I think is probably really his best directing job.
Yeah.
Star Wars is a great movie and everybody loves it and it's, iconic. But I think American Graffiti was really his best directed mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't agree with that. It's one of those ones that's kind of up there in the love or hate category, right. I think.
I think it's important. I don't know if I'd love it, but I think it's an important film.
Here's one that annoys the shit out of me. And this director does a lot of stuff that annoys the shit out of me. But it's a hard watch. And a lot of these are hard watch movies for me. Platoon.
Never liked it.
Never liked it? Yeah.
No.
I couldn't like it. I couldn't bring myself to like it. Good performances. Yeah. I thought Willem Dafoe was great in it. Tom Berenger was off the charts. Yeah. Good in that. Yeah. But Charlie Sheen always felt false to me.
Yeah.
And him as a lead in that I thought was a mistake. Yeah. But so some people. Here's a big one. A big one. Huge for me. Titanic. Fuck that movie.
Why would... How's that on anybody's... Unless you're a chick, that should not be on any movie.
That movie is such a beatdown. I mean, it's literally, you go in the last 45 minutes, see the boat sink, you're good. That's it. That's all you really got to see. Because the rest of it's just fluff.
Are there touching moments when the things... Yes.
When it's sinking, yeah, and you got the old people holding hands, there's a couple things.
That got me, Yeah. But Billy Zane, way over the top, mm-hmm. crap character.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo was still young, annoying Leonardo at that time.
Yes, he was.
Not that I'm a big fan of him now, but I do like him now. I didn't mm-hmm. think I ever
He's
would.
A better actor now than he was.
I didn't
was
think now. I ever would, but I do. But no, God, that movie sucks. And then that Celine Dion song, you want to...
Punch people
I would shave a week off the end of my life to never have to hear that song again.
right. Yeah, Titanic was one of the... So, I loved James Cameron as a director early in his career. Piranha, I thought was a pulp, a nice little piece of pulp horror film. I really liked Terminator 1.
Alien.
Terminator 2, I kind of was... That's another one that I should like, but I don't. I really hate the main young actor in that, Edward Furlong. I thought totally destroyed that movie, and I can't watch it.
I like 2 better than 1.
Yeah, I can't. I can't watch 2. I can't do it. I mean, special effects-wise,
I
liked
have no
it.
Proof that Linda Hamilton's our buddy, but
we did visit with her.
I
smoked with her, yeah, which is cool.
And I almost knocked her down.
Yeah.
I had to apologize, and she was real sweet about it.
But she does have a twin sister, so that might have been her twin sister.
Maybe
you never know. So Cameron went from making good films. I think, personally, my favorite James Cameron movie is True Lies. I love that movie.
Absolutely.
It's hilarious.
Absolutely.
A lot of people
don't like that movie, but I love it.
It's the perfect perfect thing for Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis had great chemistry. The best thing with
Tom Arnold
Tom Arnold
and Bill Paxton were both great in that movie.
Fantastic. I mean, just great cast, fun movie. Mm-hmm. Not a moment that I get bored.
Tia Carrera was great in it.
But that was his last good movie. Everything after that, Titanic, another one, Avatar. What a fucking piece of shit that movie is. Yeah. Everybody loved that movie. And you know why they loved that movie? Because the 3D was cool. When I saw it in the theater, I'm like, oh, this is fucking cool. But then I saw it again, and I'm like, this movie is basically Dances with Wolves and Pocahontas shoved together, and it's a piece of shit, and it's a horrible movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, God, that guy can't direct a movie to save his life nowadays. No. I don't know what it is about him. But, yeah, those are hard for me to get through. Here's another one, top 100 list, and we both agree that we don't like this movie. You ready? Easy Rider. What a fucking beatdown of a movie. What a non-movie. That movie is a non-movie.
Yeah, that's exactly... You know what it is? It's like an extended motorcycle commercial with Steppenwolf in the background and the band. And that's what it is. It's like a long music video of motorcycles and
right,
stuff.
Right,
you know,
and I get that it probably meant something to the people in that time, you know, in the 60s and the hippie days, and it made sense to them. But my dad fucking loves that movie, and I'm like, why? Why do you love that movie? I don't understand... You know, why you love that movie.
And I haven't seen a lot of Peter Fonda movies, but I've seen a lot better movies than that one. I'll tell you that for sure.
Yep.
Ugh. Okay, I thought of one.
Okay, got it. Go.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah, that's a beatdown too. Yeah.
Especially when he followed it up with Dead Poets Society, which I loved. Mm-hmm. But Good Morning Vietnam, oh my God, it's that over the top. I'm trying to pretend I'm ad-libbing, but I'm not.
Right.
Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anything bad about Robin Williams, God rest his soul, but... You know, people think he was this great ad-libber, and he wasn't. It was mostly all scripted.
Boo.
And he always played the same ad-lib characters, you know. And that was, you know, and Bruno Kirby, another one, God rest his soul, he was over the top. To me, the only character that I liked in that movie was Forrest Whitaker. I thought his character was good.
He played it very honest. I mean, that's the whole thing, is most people in that movie were pretty over the top. But Forrest Whitaker plays it very low key, and he seemed like a real person in the movie, and surrounded by people that weren't.
But the rest
of
the movie, I just thought was terrible. There was one good line when Bruno Kirby's ripping Robin Williams' character, and he points to his sleeve, and you know you get three stripes this way and three stripes. He goes, "What does three up, three down mean to you?" And he goes, "End of an inning." I thought that was a great line. Right, that was a great line. It's the only laugh I had in that whole movie.
Yep. Do you have any others that you can think of that just really kind of everybody loves that you don't like?
I mentioned three big ones with Ghostbusters, Searchers, and Good Morning Vietnam. You mentioned Fight Club. I've never said I hated the movie. I just don't get why it's so popular. I mean, I know it had a nice little twist, and I could see it. I just don't think it's shot very well. I don't like Brad Pitt as an actor, period. I thought Ed Norton's character was great, or, you know, his acting was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know... But I don't hate it, you know.
Yeah, I to me that was one of those ones where had I not read the book first, I probably would have liked the movie less. Okay. Wait, does that make sense? I'd read the book and I loved the book. Saw the movie and I actually liked. It's one of the few adaptations where I actually liked the movie better than the book, because the movie does something that the book doesn't do. Where the book, like right off the bat, you know that he's split personality and they're both the same guy, and they played it differently in the movie, where you find out at the end and it's a surprise. And I thought that was brilliant. That was a brilliant way to.
Now that's a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
Now that movie got compared a lot, or Mr. Brooks got compared to Fight Club a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Fight Club, it was cool to have the twist to find out about the alter ego. You know, the character.
Right.
I think in Mr. Brooks, you needed to know right off the bat that William Hurt was fictitious, you know, in his mind.
Right,
You know, so I could see where that would be better. And so basically what I'm saying was the book was more like Mr. Brooks and that you knew right off the bat.
Right.
And this one was more, you got a twist, which I could see that.
Yeah, and it worked well.
Yeah.
Here's a list on thetoast.net of movies you're supposed to like but don't. He has Spaceballs.
I know a lot of people don't like that, and I'm not saying it's a great movie, but I laugh at it. It's funny.
I like it, but it's not. It's the least of the best Mel Brooks movies, I would say.
The last good one for a while.
The last good one, but you could tell that there was about half the jokes that didn't really work.
Right.
But the ones that did were really funny.
Yeah.
But then you go to Men with Tights, and it's like, okay, yeah, none of these jokes work for me.
Well, there's a couple, but not many.
Yeah. Well, yeah. White men can't jump. That's like one of the few, but...
Why should we listen to this guy? Because unlike other Robin Hoods, I speak with an English accent.
Right. Dirty Dancing's a big one, man.
Can't stand
Fuck
it.
Fuck that movie.
That movie came out my senior year, so guess what? Our prom and all that kind of stuff was full of...
Time of my life.
Another song I want to punch someone in the throat for. That song fucking sucks. And what annoyed me about that movie was, number one, Patrick Swayze is like 80, and he's like going after this high school girl. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And number two, the soundtrack totally didn't fit the movie. It's supposed to take place in like the 50s and all this modern
music. Yeah, a lot of 60s stuff in it. Yeah,
yeah, it's like not even that. I mean, Time of Our Life had friggin' synthesizer in it. Like, come on. You know, it's like, what the hell's that shit?
And you know, if you've got a catchphrase from a movie, you know, like a line from a movie that everyone hears the line and they know exactly what movie. Mm-hmm. Okay, like what we have here is failure to communicate. It's a great line.
Mm-hmm. That's from Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel lucky, well, do you, punk? Okay, great line. You know the movie.
Yeah.
Don't put baby in a corner. It's the worst freaking line for a movie to be known for.
Right.
It's the stupidest line.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. God, that movie, man. There's so many of those chick movies, though, that, I mean, because we're guys, we probably don't like them. But still, I mean, The Notebook's another big one. People love The Notebook.
And I didn't hate
freaking
Notebook.
Hate The Notebook.
I didn't hate it.
I love the last moment in the movie is very touching, but it's because of the actors. I think I've grown to like Ryan Gosling as an actor. I think he's gotten better.
Me too.
But I didn't like him or Rachel McAdams at that point.
I liked the James Garner older woman. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, that story, that part of it.
That was awesome. That part of it was great. Good. I liked that.
But I hated the fact that women were so like, oh, it's such a romantic movie. I'm like, she's basically a whore because...
Yeah, she dumps him for this guy.
She dumped her fiancé, and it's not like he was abusive or mean to her. He wasn't anything... He was a nice guy. They didn't... If they'd played him off as being an abusive asshole, then okay, I see it. But he was just a guy that she was supposed to be married to, and she falls in love with another guy. So basically, she's a whore.
Yeah.
Put it in no comment. Yeah. She's basically a bitch because she leaves this one guy for this other guy. So, really?
I know.
Really?
I know. And
here's one that was a big hit, and people love it, and I think it's fucking stupid as shit. Basic Instinct.
Oh, the Sharon Stone?
Yeah.
Oh,
Michael Douglas
it's
thing.
It's a popcorn movie. I don't care. It's okay. I mean,
It tried too hard to be Hitchcockian and
it was
Brian
kind of
De Palma-y.
Brian De Palma. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was very De Palma-like.
Yeah,
and I'm just you know. And I'm not even a De Palma fan, but I could sense that that's what they were going for. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What was the one with Angie Dickinson?
Dressed to Kill.
Dressed to Kill.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's terrible.
Worst stand-in body double. That first scene.
Although that's whoever the body double was.
She was
great. Hot.
A nice pair of tits, yeah. And, but, I mean, totally.
Andy like Dickinson's 80 like 60 know, years old.
60-year-old body, like 20-year-old tits. Like, come on now. Come on now. That was the scene you always wanted to see on HBO when your parents were in the room. Like, I got to put that on.
What's that?
Put that in the spank bank real quick here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Michael Caine dressed up in drag and killing people was like,
Although I don't know if that's a movie you're supposed to love, but it just popped into my head. But,
yeah, no, it's pretty well liked. I mean, it's it did well at the box office. I know that. All right, here's another one. This is from incontention.com. Movies you're supposed to love but don't. Let's see what they have on the list here. The Searchers, that's one. Hey, they listed On the Waterfront. Death in Venice. I don't know that movie.
No.
Singing in the Rain. Fuck you, Singing in the Rain. Shawshank Redemption. Nah, this list sucks.
That dude didn't like movies, period.
Right.
Although he got it right with The Searchers. But there you
he
go.
Did, yeah. That's the one. Hey, someone else agreed. Yeah.
Oh, The Shining. Talking
the
about
Shining.
Kubrick.
Yeah. Something. I think we don't like Jack Nicholson, I think, is what's happening here.
Actually, I do like Jack Nicholson. I just don't like a lot of his stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't like Kubrick. And talking about the book is so much better than the
movie.
Oh,
yeah, the book kills
the movie.
And the movie
didn't even try to copy the book much, you know. It's, like, stupid.
That's Kubrick, though. He just kind of does his own fucking thing, you know.
Yeah.
He's just Kubrick. He's a weirdo.
It's about the furnace or the boiler room, or, you know, that's what it's about.
Right, right. Yeah.
Barely even addresses that in the freaking movie.
Not at all. Not at all. Once, twice, and that's it.
Yeah.
Little bitty snippets of it.
Yeah.
But I still think I like the movie better than the TV movie. I know you like the TV movie better, but...
I only like the TV movie because it followed the story. I mean, it's a TV movie.
Mm.
So they couldn't get into a lot of stuff. We didn't get to see the hot chick get out of the bathtub.
Here's one that a lot of people like, and it's mentioned over and over again. It was a TV movie, though. It.
Hated it.
Yeah. Kill me.
I hated it.
Me too.
You know why I hated it? Because I liked it.
Yeah.
I was into it, and I was really getting sucked in. until the spiders showed up. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Unfortunately, that's the same ending for the book.
I know.
Yeah.
And I saw the movie first, and I thought, the book's got to be better. And I read it, and I'm like, it's the same fucking thing.
Right.
What the hell?
It's like Stephen King just has, he's like known for having shitty endings. Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do with this space spider. You know?
I told you I read that book, 11/22/63.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And it was great. And that's why I watched the miniseries.
Mm.
But in the afterword or prologue or whatever, he mentions that the ending in the book isn't, he didn't write it.
Yeah.
He let his son, who's also a writer, goes under a different, it doesn't go under the name of King, but or Bachman. And he read it and goes, Dad, I love this book. This ending sucks.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you write one, Tim. Let me see it. And he wrote it, and he goes, oh, okay. So Stephen King didn't even write the ending to that. His son did.
Yeah.
His son even told him that ending sucks. But Stephen King doesn't know how to end a book.
See, George Lucas needs a son to tell him when shit sucks. Exactly. That's what he needs.
Exactly. Yeah, that's funny. So his son wrote the ending.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right, so we've gone through a pretty good list there. We want to thank you guys for joining us, as always. And Randy, where can they find us?
Spreaker, iTunes, and YouTube. Oh, no, we're in this show. Never mind. We're on Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and something. YouTube.
Something.
Twitter and Facebook.
It's been too long.
And we're not on one of those anymore.
We're on all, yeah, we're Stitcher. Yeah.
iHeartRadio. We're not on iHeartRadio now.
Yeah, we are.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Hell yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
It's this one and Love Clipso. To Hate are both on
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, well, Clipso by proxy because it's the old episodes. Right. But yeah, okay. The only one that's not on iHeartRadio now is Kiefer for Prez, but we don't have enough episodes to put that in there yet.
Cool.
So definitely check out the other shows. We have Kiefer for Prez, where we basically recap each episode of Designated Survivor. We try and do that every week. It may not happen because we do travel a lot, and it's a weekly show, so we're going to try and do that as we can. We're trying to come up with a way to do that on the road, so we're working on that. And then check out also Love to Hate, also part of the Luna Podcast Group. So always listen to the shows. We appreciate it, and it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.